This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
So I'm 30 years old. I live in Chicago. I found out that I had trichotillomania, or actually what it was. I guess it probably would have been about 5 years ago now, but I started showing the signs of it when I was five. I pulled out all my eyelashes. I was like in first grade and no one really knew what it was. So that was kind of my whole, it's been like a lifelong journey and kind of struggle to figure out what it really is and just the hiding and the shame and all the different things that kind of come with it. But it's nice to now be able to understand what it is and be able to like navigate, you know, how to handle it and just be around people who, you know, are understanding and in the community, you know, just sharing it.
I know you were very young, 5 years old, maybe not so many memories, but do you have any memories of pulling at that age?
I actually do. I remember, and this is a weird one. I don't know how, I mean, like, can I ask, do you remember like the first time you ever pulled your hair?
Yeah, I believe I do. Yeah.
Do you like, do you remember what like triggered it? Cause mine was weird. I saw a girl with, she just didn't have any eyelashes. I don't know if it was like alopecia or something. And I was just a really nervous, fidgety kid. And I just started fidgeting and pulling out my eyelashes. I don't think it was like necessarily intentional, but it's just like, I don't know why that triggered it. I haven't been able to figure it out. Hopefully my therapist and I can get there, but yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes for me, it was like my hand just like tugged on my eyebrow all of a sudden. And I was just like, oh, hair comes out. Like I was just like young enough where I was like, oh, this is cause and effect. You know, you pull your eyebrow hair, hair comes out. And then it spiraled from there.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I remember my parents were just so just shocked by it. Like, you know, just what the hell's going on. And they took me to our family pediatrician. And I remember sitting there and I very clearly remember the doctor asking me, does it hurt when you pull your eyelashes out? And just like, you know, normal kid, like there's not a care in the world. I'm like, no, not at all. Like, I didn't think it was, you know, like anything super wrong. And they talked, you know, with my parents and they gave me Latisse to grow it back. So I do remember too, the having like that like greasy kind of like eyelid thing. And I used to hate that. But yeah, aside from that, I just remember my parents didn't really handle it how I think I would have wanted it to be handled, or if I had a child with it that young to kind of give that type of thing. But also, you know, they didn't know. And it's, it's just been a weird journey.
When the doctor, you know, told you about Latisse and was giving you the suggestion to try to grow it back, I know there was not a diagnosis for a long time. Did they treat it as though it was a bad habit that you would grow out of? Like, was that something that he maybe said to your parents, or was it just like, hey, we also don't know?
Yeah, so that's the crazy part of my journey where it's kind of, I feel like I'm just on this climax to, you know, climbing this hill to kind of figure it out. I recently went back home. My parents live in, they're from Iowa. And I, you know, had a day just to myself and I drove to the pediatrician, the office, and I hadn't been there because then I'm 30. So that's 25 years. And they had my files in the basement. And I just said, hey, like, you know, I have a hair pulling, you know, disorder called trichotillomania, came in and, you know, when I was a child, and I really just want to know what the doctor called it or told my parents, because it's that other part of, I don't know if my parents just chose to ignore what it was, or if it was just, it truly didn't have an answer to it. That being the, you know, the pediatrician, it's kind of a weird thing. So I'm actually currently waiting for my medical records.
That's very interesting. Yeah. You have to let me know and let the
Definitely.
Listeners know what they said.
I'm excited to know. I feel like it'll be like a relief to if it is that. I mean, I'm not going to be shocked if it's not, but I think it's comforting to have like a name to it.
And I know it's parents ultimately want the best for their children most times, right? And so it is hard when I look back too on the way that my parents reacted. Of course it was a lot of shock. Like, we never knew anything about this until, someone ended up telling us. What would be your advice to parents who have children with BFRBs?
I would say, and I don't want to shame my parents again, just, going back to, what is it, probably like 98, 99 here. I just not, my mom would be like, why are you, sorry, I'm starting with the negatives here. Why, like, why your eyelashes are so beautiful? Don't you want to wear makeup when you get older? And like, just, but like, I was sitting there tantruming. And my mom would have to like hold me down. I was just so upset. I didn't want to hear it, or like getting just yelled at, I guess it what it felt like for when I would pull or when my hair wouldn't be growing back. And that actually caused it to then migrate to different parts of my body. But I would say just listening to your children, cognitive behavioral therapy has been a godsend throughout my life. I mean, it's definitely helped me understand like myself a lot more, but also just having different things like, like the bracelets that you have on like your podcast, just going back to even the old school, like a rubber band or a hair tie, just to kind of like snap or something. It's kind of like it's not the same, but just having something to distract. But, I think just being open to the different medical advancements and really listening to like what's going on in the development and of an understanding of these compulsions so that it's but just not shaming. I would never, I just would never want to make someone feel ashamed or isolated, because I'm sure like I'm sure you can relate that it's just isolating. Like I felt like this was something that I didn't that I would never share with anyone, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and I don't know what it was with the generation of our parents where it's like, okay, you do you want people to point it out? That's gonna make me stop. I actually that's gonna make me fall into this trick trance and more of a self-soothing behavior because I'm feeling so ashamed and so horrible about myself. It's not going to work.
It's, I couldn't agree with you more. It's just, it really kicked it up. I think the second that, I mean, I don't want to say they just kind of like gave up on it, but the, that kind of like berating, well, what it felt like as a child, coming again, like our parents' generation, just kind of the way they address it, it just, it made me, get into that those trick trances and start pulling from my head. And when it kind of backed off is when my eyelashes did begin to grow back with the Latisse. And I remember receiving compliments from my mom, and I think that that positive reinforcement of like being like, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful, look at those big full, beautiful dark eyelashes, like that to me did so much more than anything else that I was, don't want to say coddled, kind of like helped out with along that whole, I guess, journey or whatever as a child.
What are some things that you used to do to try to lessen your pulling when you were that age?
I mean, definitely not healthy coping skills. Migration is what began to happen, and then that as an adult really kind of went, crazy, like tenfold, to just, all over and stuff. But I would just, if I felt like I was ashamed or something of someone seeing it, I would just move to a different spot. And I just, my coping skills was just trying to be discreet as possible, because I honestly, as a child, the rubber band snapping just didn't work for me at that age. I just needed, I think that just that love and like that like understanding when I did receive that, that really, really helped. And making myself feel loved and, like being able to understand yourself, it helps out a lot.
One of my therapists had mentioned, who didn't really have a deep understanding of trichotillomania, but was just trying, was, the rubber band, of course, but also to pull the hair from a baby doll. And I tried it and it didn't work because it wasn't the same. But it was one of those things where it's like, I know you want to help me, professional, but this isn't going to help me. So that made me feel bad because I'm like, oh, well, guess what? I guess I can't stop because none of these things are working and it's my fault. And there's the shame again.
And it's so difficult. I do remember that being suggested to my mom, and I think my parents, to the best of my knowledge, they just thought it was silly. But I think when it comes to our mental health and like development, you should never write anything off as silly. I mean, that goes back to that just like, feeling ashamed, that cycle of just isolation. But yeah, I think like just listening and understanding, it's like the power of that is just, it's amazing.
You mentioned that your trichotillomania migrated. Where else have you pulled
Yes.
from?
I mean, this is really, I have to say, even to this day, is it's embarrassing to say out loud. I've only really disclosed it to, people very, very close to me. But I mean, I've gone my eyebrows, my eyelashes. I had a spot in the back of my head when I was younger. It was probably when I was like six, just like a year after. I got like a little scab or something. And that little, just the dermatillomania, it kind of kicked that a little bit up and just like fixating on that. And then I began to pull from that. But as I got a little older and I wanted to be able to hide it, I wanted to wear makeup and I wanted to, be able to wear my hair certain ways and stuff. It then went to like my legs, and then incredibly embarrassing to say as a young woman, but pubic areas even, when we start to get a little older and we, some of us shave or, self-grooming or however you're grooming, it made me think and fixate more on that area as well. I feel like that's the hardest one to really say out loud. But, as a young woman developing and coming into my body, that was one that really hit hard and was really just, it's been a real, that's the hard one to say out loud, I feel like. I don't, it's really crazy, but I don't think that there's a place where I haven't pulled, to be quite honest with you.
Well, the good news is many, many people, it is interesting because there is shame still behind. You can, we all admit other places, eyebrows, eyelashes, scalp, but the pubic area, a lot of us do it. And there's something still very, very, we want to keep it hidden. But hey, it's if it has hair, there's a good chance that we're going to be pulling from it. So you're not alone in that. I'll tell you that now.
And that's why I appreciate this podcast and just like coming across to you on Instagram and being able to just see the openness and understanding and kindness and just like that community that's been fostered. I think that that's just made me feel so much better and more just self-aligned and just understanding who I am and being okay with it and, not feeling isolated by it, because there are a lot of people that have it. I mean, I remember seeing that, the Amy Schumer has it, or that the Victoria's Secret model, like really anyone could have it. And it's just, the community thing is just so important. So I'm very grateful for that and for you for bringing that up.
There's something that I don't know why it is, but when you first develop your BFRB, it does feel like there's something that says, oh yeah, this is bad. Like you could get in trouble. Like you're not supposed to be doing this. And so yeah, the first thing is like I'd never want to tell anybody. And so then nobody tells anybody, and then we're all living out here, without the resources and without the community. So it's good to take that big step, but that first step of saying like, hey, like here I am. Like I'm out here with this too.
Yeah, am I allowed to ask you a question?
Sure, yeah, if you want, yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, so just go, I guess going back to the, how we were talking about like pulling from the pubic area or something that's a little more like private. Have you ever experienced, like, even in your adult years, having to like run in the bathroom or just like kind of like, hide it so excessively that it's just like how do you, I guess, how do you navigate that, if that's a thing that comes up for you, like if you're cohabitating with someone or something, like what does that look like if you've ever experienced that, like in your through your eyes?
Yeah, so I was very open about my trichotillomania with my now fiance, and so
Okay.
when we lived together, it was like, okay, there's gonna be hair everywhere. It's mine. You know what I'm doing with it. Like, that's just my thing. I think for a while, when I first pulled out my eyelashes after, so it was like a 10-year gap between when I last pulled out my eyelashes versus when I did during the pandemic, and so that was tough because I was not used to not having eyelashes. So this was a whole nother layer of like, okay, I accepted it before in a sense, and then it grew back, whatever. So I would cling to those false eyelashes, and I would wear like liquid eyeliner and all that stuff. I never had my bare eyelids out, probably like a year or more, like every single day. Like I'd wear them to sleep. Like I couldn't, I just thought I was like so ugly without them. It was a really big learning curve for me and a
Yeah.
big part of my healing journey. And then one day I just said, you know what? I can't live like this. It's one of those
Yeah.
things where, I've had it for almost 23 years now, and I've experienced those moments before where it's like every day it's five extra steps before I can leave the house because I don't feel comfortable leaving unless this is covered and this is covered and this looks like this. And I was tired back then. And then when I had to do it again, I'm like, I can't keep doing this. And so from then it was like this, radical self-acceptance. I'm leaving the house without any eye makeup at all. If I have gaps in my eyelashes, like I dare you to ask me about it, I'll talk about it. But it was one of those things where I eventually felt tired. And I'm like, yeah, I can't keep hiding this because I just don't feel like it anymore. It's every day. And I got to that point where I said, you know what? I'm done with it. I'm good now.
Yeah, I love that you use that word, just like empowering, like self-empowering, by just being like I dare you to ask me. I've really just gotten to like that point this past year, I would say even. And mine did. I like a lot of people. I mean, listen on your podcast, like it kicked up during the pandemic. Like I pulled from the front of my head, the baby hairs, like when I'd be sitting, writing or journaling, and I would get in that trick trance and not even notice. And I'm like, oh gosh, like here we go again. But being able to just walk out and have that just like self-acceptance, and that like everybody's human, we're all going through something, we're the human experience, it doesn't look to the same through everyone's eyes or to each, every person. So being able to walk out confidently and, I dare you, not in like a malicious way, but like I dare you to, like ask me. It's okay. Like that really brings like so much, it takes so much stress off, and it truly empowering. I love that word. It's just such a good one.
One of the big things for me was that, like, the way my personality is anyway, I guess I'm not easily embarrassed because I used to talk about every single thing. Like, I was kind of like a big mouth. Like, every part of my life I always shared. And so it was like, you can't embarrass me, except for if you knew about my trichotillomania. Like, you can't, if I accept something about myself and I openly share about it, it's not going to embarrass me if you bring it up, except that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to continue living my life where I hate something about myself because that's a part of me, and that means I hate a part of me, and that just doesn't, as I'm in my 30s and I'm like, I don't want to continue the same behaviors that didn't help me before, and they sure aren't going to help me now. So what do we do? Let's love it.
Oh my gosh, you're making me tear up right now. Like seriously, I'm the exact same way, like a chatty Cathy growing up, like very confident, extroverted, just really outgoing. But this has been something that it's so exhausting having to hide such a big thing. But like I feel like understanding it and not being afraid to, talk about it with people around you, and get the help that you need, and just really getting to understand it. It kind of just it takes a huge weight off of at least my shoulders, and I feel like more confident than I've felt in a very long time. I just love who I am, and I don't want to be someone who I'm not because I feel like I have to.
That is one of, if not the hardest part of having a BFRB and living with the BFRB experience, is that there seems to be two different people. There's the person that I am when I face others who I want to be perceived a certain way. And then there's me in the bathroom for 30, 45 minutes pulling out my eyelashes. And how can I make that one person? Why do I feel as though I have to hide this one? And if I don't hide it, then I'm not accepted. It's just this whole thing of how do I navigate? How do I become just me instead of me with trick versus me without it?
If someone does ask you, because when I talk about it with other people, and this might just also be me still getting comfortable with saying the word trichotillomania or trick, because either people don't know what it is, or just kind of because it's a big word, and it kind of, breaking it down like the word roots, like it's kind of like, whoa, I've been, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like I just use obsessive compulsive anxiety disorder to kind of just brush over, blanket it. Like, what if you, I mean, obviously you're confident in doing it now because you're doing this wonderful podcast and like coaching people. What have you like used in uncomfortable situations? And also, like, is that an improper terminology to use?
Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Well, it depends. If you are someone who has obsessive compulsive disorder, and it and so here's the thing. So trichotillomania is its own thing. It can have comorbidity with other things. So for example, if you're saying it's part of your OCD, that very well could be true for you. If there's comorbidity with ADHD, autism, body dysmorphia. I'm missing. There's so many things. Like you can have trich and also something else. It can be together, but it also can be just separate. So for me personally, it's just I have trichotillomania and that's my main thing that I got going on. And when I was younger, and if I were uncomfortable, I kind of thought to myself, well, does this person deserve to know? This is something that I'm scared to share with people. If you don't deserve to know, I am lying to you and I don't feel bad about it. So I would very much, even now as a grown up, if I felt asked in a certain way that I felt, okay, they're not going to understand or they're kind of judging me, I'm going to lie to you. Like it's not my responsibility as a person with trichotillomania to educate you on a disorder that I have. I just don't feel the need. But if it is a space where I feel comfortable, then I'll joke and I'll say, how much time do you have? I'll explain what it is. I'll go through the whole, a quick version, as quick as I can be, of what it means to have it. But yeah, I'm not against lying about it because it's not my responsibility to educate everybody just because I have it.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I just love hearing that. Like, I feel like that's been another, like, for me now, like, currently, I mean, it sounds like I'm just a nervous mess, maybe to some people, but it's just like, do I feel bad about lying? I mean, not necessarily lying or just like, I maybe omitting from the exact truth, but I personally do have attention deficit hyperactive disorder as well as obsessive compulsive disorder. So it is nice, like when you kind of come into that adulthood and you're just like, you know what? Like you were saying, like if this person doesn't deserve to know what's going on with me and maybe something not good is going to come out of it, or I just don't think that they need to know, well, then guess what? They don't need to know. And like I think that that like creates so much agency and just like just empowerment. And because the people that deserve to know that you want to share it with, like, it's not, it doesn't feel like, I don't want to say that use the word chore, but it feels more genuine. And those like conversations, I feel like are that much more important. But I mean, it's nice also to see someone like yourself or many other people who have come to that like point or getting to that point where rolls off the tongue. It just like comes natural to call it what it is. I think it's those two things and being having you say that both are, you know, it's all okay. Like I think that that's just going back to that comfort thing, that that's just so comforting to hear. And I love that.
Another thing is like, it's the same way that I feel it's whatever makes you feel better. I think the person who has the BFRB, whatever makes you feel better, if people ask and it makes you feel better to want to share it, that's great. Same thing with social media. There are people with BFRBs who spread awareness without being a public figure on the internet, showing their face, showing their bald spots. That never has to be you. You can still have this like wonderful, healthy relationship with your BFRB, and you can be in this place of healing without feeling the need to share intimate details. I think it's whatever is going to benefit your journey. That's what's important.
I couldn't agree with you more. Like just like finding that like centered self and just really the root of who you are and making yourself a whole, complete, happy person. It's easy sometimes to forget that, especially when you're experiencing different things in life, trials and tribulations, and just BFRB, all these different things. But bringing it back to like that, you know, finding that center in yourself, that's just so important. And I'm sorry, I just love everything you're saying. It's so great. When you've gotten into as an adult, like if you get like the trich fits or whatever, and you notice maybe you've been like sitting in the bathroom for like 45 minutes or whatever, you really know that it's going to be a rough day. What are like various different skills that even if you're just kind of
I don't even know if you're really in it, like what works for you personally? Like, what are, do you have a couple different techniques aside the bracelet, or what really helps you personally?
Well, the bracelet, of course, you know, that's in the moment. It vibrates enough where if I don't listen the first time, I'm going to get like 10 vibrations. I'm like, that is enough awareness where it's like, okay, yeah, get up and do something different. The first thing is if I'm in the trick trance and I've changed locations, like in the sense of I've gotten up, I've left the room, I've stretched, I've gotten a drink of water, and it's still coming back. Sometimes I feel as though, okay, like I'm going to have to ride this out because I've tried everything already. I've done all the things and the things aren't working. And that's the nature of the disorder. I'm going to ride it out. When I'm done, I'm going to talk to myself nicely and I'm going to say nice things to myself because I deserve to hear them. And I'm not going to make myself feel bad about it. And so once it's over, once that ride is over, it's over. I don't go back again because I don't have the shame that I have to self-soothe out of. So that's a big thing. I talk to myself nicely and I say, okay, tomorrow's a new day. It's going to be fine. We've done this before. We can do it again. So that's my number one, is after and during the pulling sessions, say those nice words. You deserve to hear them and you need them.
Do you have any like mantras or things, like specific things that you'll tell yourself that like work for you, or does it kind of change every time? Like just what you tell yourself, you know, when you can't pull yourself out, like afterwards, and you're just trying to move on, like talk nice to yourself, like what, or there, is there specific things you say or to yourself, or just kind of changes?
So I love you're okay. Like I love like you're okay. You're okay. Like the gentle you're okay is just like very, it just makes me feel really good. And I just, you know, like to reassure myself that way, like we're okay. You're good. You're good. You're good, girl. Like things like that. I always remind myself like tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day, because I don't ever, and I have done this before, but I don't ever want to now bring over what happened yesterday into tomorrow, because that's going to put me back in the cycle of pulling again and pulling again. I just don't want to do that. So it's just like, you're okay. You're safe. You're loved. You're beautiful. You're special. You know, the good ones, the heavy hitters, I say those. And then I also just remind myself that like, hey, tomorrow's a new day and it's going to be different, because for me in my life, I've experienced this many, many times where I've had intense pulling sessions and my eyelid, it itched the whole day from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep. And then the next day, no sensation at all. So it's like, yeah, it's a new day. I don't have to continue with this. It doesn't have to ruin the following day and the following day and the following day. And we're good.
I love that. I mean, that's just such a positive thing to like think about. I mean, oh my gosh. Sorry, side note. Oh my, you know, like when the little eyelashes start to grow in sometimes, and then you're like closing your eye and you're like, oh God. That it's just like, I think that has been one for me where I'm just like, don't pull, because I just hate that feeling and it's gotten to be so annoying. I'm just like, oh, I really gotta not do it. Aside from many things, I guess like also getting into the 30s, my back kills me too sometimes from it. If I'm like pulling from my legs or my eyes are getting strained, I think it's, I'm still doing it, but I mean, those are becoming new deterrents sometimes.
The way that you pinch with your index finger and thumb, that becomes sore or like crampy. It's interesting and, you know, a little scary, but as we age, of course, we're going to see repetitive body injuries because we are doing these things for almost our entire life mostly. So it is, it's interesting to see how we age and if that is going to be the biggest deterrent. Hey, I can't bend down and my neck will be stiff for the next day if I look at my legs for too long or my bikini line, like, we'll see.
Yeah. And like, I, to be quite honest with you, up until maybe, I guess this past year, like I had picked up my legs so bad through college and my calves that I started to get the discoloration, all these ingrown hairs. It just exacerbated the issue that much more. And just the discoloration, I never felt comfortable wearing like anything other than long pants. And in the summer, it's just kind of like, oh gosh. But I finally got to the point where I'm like, nope. Doesn't matter. And it's also opened up that whole door of like, hey, my legs can breathe. But I guess one more question, just like maybe some advice if you don't mind. So like I specifically use tweezers, and I've got like, I do tweeze my eyebrows to keep them kempt. Like I'm pretty on top of that, which definitely that's part of the thing, but I try to keep those, oh, you know, left alone. Do you try to get rid of those things that maybe are triggering or what are could be used like in a trick trance? Or do you think that that's like negative reinforcement or in a way or something like I don't something like that.
For my personal experience, especially with things like tweezers, so for me, I need to know where the tweezers are and that they are accessible, and I don't always have to use them. But something that I got rid of years ago that I will never use again is something like the magnified mirror. That I don't need to know where it is. I actually hate them. Like that in my journey, I found that that was way worse for me because I would also dabble in dermatillomania and I would be picking my skin and my eyelashes in this magnified mirror and just stay there forever. And so I think it does depend on what works. I know that I've tried to get rid of the tweezers before and I had a negative experience where I was like, well, I know I just need them. There's one that's bothering me. And now that I don't have them, I'm pulling out more because I can't get the one that I want. And so my relationship with them is if I need them, you know, if there's an eyelash that's sticking down and poking me in my eye, it's easier for me and better for my BFRB to go in, pull that one eyelash out, and then I'm good for the rest of the day. That's usually what happens with those. If I don't know where they are, I'm freaked out. I'm tugging at any eyelash and hoping the one comes out that's bothering me, and it turns out it's the 10 other ones around it. So it
Ten
really
times
kind of,
worse.
yeah, it kind of depends on what. You know, try those things. I've tried everything, you know, under the sun to better manage this and try it and see how you feel. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, great. Try something else.
What I'm taking from this and what I want to do today, I have, oh my gosh, I have like three different magnifying mirrors, and I'm sitting here looking at one with like the little itty bitty really super magnified. I would like to, after hearing that, I want to get rid of at least a couple and just like you said, know where one is if you really need it or, so you're not just pulling around at different areas. But I think that that's like really, I don't know why the mirror didn't even come to mind first or even second, really. But that's a big one. So that's, I think that's something I'm going to do today. Try that out.
You briefly mentioned that you sometimes wear long pants because you didn't want people to see your legs. Have you ever avoided outings or different activities because of your BFRB?
100%. I mean, 100%. It has, I don't want to say ruined, but like what felt like, and still today, sometimes if I'm thinking back on it, felt like it kind of ruined slightly my 20s and in my college years because, we live in Chicago, so we're like right by Lake Michigan. Like, I want to go jump off the pier, in like a cute little swimsuit. Or I want to wear cute shorts, and I'm over here having to wear or feeling like I have to wear leggings all the time, or high-waisted shorts with, the high socks or whatever. And it's like, you can only pull that look so many times. But and then it gets so uncomfortable. But it just also personal relationships, like with like partners and just intimacy things. I would go as far as, putting concealer or like, foundation or whatever I thought would hide it if I were maybe getting into an intimate situation with someone, or if it was a really hot day and hey, I did want to wear shorts. Like I would sit there and it was like doing a whole nother face routine on like my legs or wherever. And that to me just was so exhausting. And I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, because I do have days where I'm like, maybe I'm gonna wear, some like billowy kind of pants or something a little. But I try to stick with the more breathable fabrics now. Like that's definitely a lesson I've learned. Like the tight leggings, like that just that makes like the ingrown hairs worse, and then makes me want to pull that much more. But I feel like it really did get in the and has gotten in the way of all those things, and just like wanting to be. I guess what would be like wanting to be effeminate and like be able to do these things. I felt like I was missing out on it in a way. And it led to like depression and just like that cycle just of continuously doing it. But like that's doing the same thing over and over again. it's, you know, you're not going to get a different result. But I think that relationships and like interpersonal relationships, whether that be with friends or, you know, partners or any intimate things, I think that that has been the thing that's really bummed me out. I wanted to go to the beach and I wanted to wear a swimsuit, but you know, I would just would be embarrassed. Like, what is someone gonna think? Like, what if someone sitting at a beach towel a couple down sees it and then they're staring at me like grown adults? Another thing on top of that, if I'm wearing leggings all the time or I'm wearing skinny jeans or something, then the top half of my body's all tanned and now I've got super pasty legs and it's like, oh gosh, I'm just like adding to the issue. So once I kicked that and I'm just like, I was like, I don't care. I'm riding my bike with shorts on and I'm getting my legs tanned and I'm just gonna say fuck it, pardon my French.
And some of the things that I think about now is like, okay, if someone saw me and didn't say anything, it was like, oh my God, she has no eyelashes. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? They Google it and find out that it's a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm thinking about now. They Google it. Oh,
Exactly.
she's missing eyelashes. Oh, it's a disorder. Okay, now you can be a little bit of an advocate because now you know what it is. Maybe, you know, you see somebody else, you wouldn't make it look like that. But it's just funny to me now because, like you know, my whole life pretty much was hiding. Everything was hiding. And the idea of being exposed was the absolute worst thing besides death, like to me, was just someone finding out.
You hit the nail on the head right there for me. Like that, it's too exhausting to live like that. Again, like, you know, relating to what you said, like, and what I said, like, we're both extroverts or like, you know, very outgoing people. So to have to feel like you're hiding constantly, like, that's just like, no way for me. Like I can, you know, I can only do that so long.
So tell me when you found out the name for trichotillomania. It was a pretty long time after you first developed it. How did that go? What was the feeling?
It was crazy. I was sitting at a bar just having it was just like a dive bar at like I think 5 or 6 p.m. I was just having a beer after work, probably not even more than five people there. And I'm just sitting here Googling stuff on my phone. I had had, I think, a trick fit or something after so many times, or like I thought maybe I was just scared to look it up in the past. I'm not really sure why, or just I wasn't able to find the correct answer. But when I got real specific and I started deep diving and I got trichotillomania, I was like, holy shit, this is a legitimate thing that I'm not just experiencing. There are many others is experiencing it in different ways as well, and in the way that they, you know, whether it be skin, hair, nails, you know, whatever. I kid you not, maybe it was just the beer in the shop, but I called my mom and I was like, hey, I just found out that I have this thing, trichotillomania. And then I asked her about the, you know, going to the doctor when I was in first grade. And I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. We don't have the best relationship, but she was like, well, I don't, you know, they didn't tell us that. I don't know. So that's again why I'm on my own journey a little bit right now to figure out the truth in it. And, you know, I don't ever want to think, I try not to think negatively, but I think just me knowing and then feeling like, oh my God, there's other people out there in that moment. I was like I felt again that weight off my shoulders.
What advice would you give someone who wants to share their story?
Emailing you to be on this podcast, like I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. And I don't want to have to second guess it because I know that there's nothing wrong with who I am as a person, like to the core. And other people have shared their stories. So I want to continue this positive just impact and helping others understand that maybe are not comfortable with it or just don't even know. So I would say it's just there's the empowerment to it because it's freeing for yourself. But I think for me, knowing that it could potentially help someone else, I hope that, like, you know, someone can listen to this and can just be like, I'm not alone. It's gonna be okay. Oh man, I'm crying. And that, like, they'll feel empowered to just have that self-acceptance and help their journey because, you know, everything's gonna be okay.